gloom that we're hearing about just makes me nauseated about it, because I think people, it's the media, isn't it powerful how the doom and gloom just gets at everyone and they start getting paranoid and start worrying and things like that. And unfortunately for me, I start looking at things objectively, like I've mentioned before, and I go and do some research and I say, okay, this is obviously one of those hurricanes that's supposed to be the end all be all. It's supposed to be bigger than Andrew. It's supposed to be, and I just have to preface this by saying it's not that I'm being ignorant or not taking in consideration the power. Obviously, we saw what Harvey did, but this is way of living here in Florida, bro. This is Florida life. We get hurricanes every freaking year, you know? You know how many we've had? I didn't even count anything before 99. I'm counting from 2000 through now. We've had 23 hurricanes. Let me see. 26, I want to say. Yep. 26 hurricanes. And you know what's the most fatalities we had? 14. Ivan in 2004. You had Matthew in 2016. Allison in 2001. So on and so forth. So you start hearing all these news and talking about how the devastation is. Yes, there is. It's a very simple formula. If you live in a stable home, you know if it's a flood zone or not. You should know what year it was built and go from there. You're going to be fine. Just park your car where there's no landscape, because a lot of it's going to fly around, and just stay out of the windows, man. Just don't, nothing crazy is going to happen. I'm telling you, you're not going to have 3 feet of water. You're not going to have gators swimming around and trying to chomp at you. I mean, that's what the news will make you think. So I have to unplug. And I have to just cut it off. And I put a video on Instagram playing with my daughter, because the messages you get from people that don't even talk to you, just randomly, you know, message you out of Texas or out of New York. You know, I'm not saying anybody in particular. I'm just saying just someone that you don't talk to all the time just randomly reaches out, and they're not really worried. It's just being nosy. I think anyway. I don't think they're genuinely caring, because if they did, they would be messaging you all the time. You would be in touch with them all the time, right? So why are you messaging me now? You're just trying to worry about the news? I'm not understanding that. So it's a little bit offsetting. So I don't try to worry about it. Again, I'm in a good situation. And we should all be fine. Anybody in Florida, unless you're in a mobile home, you're screwed. Unless you're by the beach, you're screwed. Unless the house is built. You know, there's certain builders that can build the quality. And that's the thing about it. It's not going to be like Three Little Pigs, guys. It's not something where you're just building a straw or wooden house and you're blowing it down. Don't let those pictures fool you. Those are like trailer homes. But you wouldn't know that, right? If you didn't grow up in Florida, you wouldn't know that, because you hadn't been seeing enough of this stuff. You haven't. So I've been seeing this stuff since I was, you know, my teenager years, and it's nothing different at this stage. So, yeah, well, with that said, I wanted to touch on something that it's one of these topics that I think are very sensitive within the dynamic of a relationship. And the reason I mentioned this was because it got me thinking. I was talking to a friend that's going through some difficult times, and ultimately in their context of their relationship, it comes down to not being supported for what they like doing. And I know that's something that a lot of us in relationships don't have, where we love doing something, but the other person hates it. Or they just put up with it, but they are always giving you an opinion about it, whether it's exercising, whether it is drinking too much, whether it is watching too much football, whatever those things are, you're always going to have a spouse that complains or has an issue with. And I know for me, one of the things I also hear about that this also included in my situation was about just pornography in general and the science of it, and just talked about that, because I think when, you know, jumping into the sensitive topic of sexual compatibility, I think it's something that we don't really discuss within getting to know somebody. I think it's something that's looked upon as taboo, very sensitive. You know, as a guy, you can't really go into that sex talk with a girl right away, because, you know, they're going to think you're a pig. They're going to think you're a creep. And you have to kind of build a certain level of trust in order to go there and talk about it. And even then, if you talk about it, it doesn't mean that you're seeing eye to eye. So you're left to ponder what the next move will be. And I know for me that when I talk to people, there always seems to be a level of non-disclosure that occurs when it comes to the likes and the dislikes that you like within the context of a relationship and intimacy. And I think that's something that all of us differ on. And many times what happens, and I know this happened with me in the past, is that I'll go ahead and know that I'm incompatible with somebody on an intimate level, but I still went ahead and stayed with them. I still went ahead and moved forward because I just felt that other things were aligned, even though the intimacy was not there. And what you realize is that when you're not on the same page and when you're not able to do things or connect on things that you both like in an intimacy level, then that's going to create a void later on. And you have to be mindful of that. And it creates issues. That's where you have a lot of the distrust. That's where you have a lot of the feelings that people have when they go about cheating, when they go about doing things, because they're not comfortable with discussing certain things with their partner. And that's when, you know, one of my epiphanies when I go moving forward has been, I'm going to want to talk about things openly. And I want someone that I can share my feelings about topics and intimacy that they're comfortable with. Whether they do it or not, it's another thing, right? Because we all have our wheelhouse. We all have our comforts. We have our box that we're comfortable in, and we don't want to step out of it. And that's fine. But you have to be able to let the other person have that outlet, because I believe when you hold things in, when you're in a situation where you're not being able to express yourself because of the judgment or because of you fearing losing that person, then it causes issues long term. It really does. And I think that's where we wish we could be supported and understood. And that's why I always keep saying about unconditional acceptance. That's what I'm ultimately looking for. My best friend and someone that I could talk to about everything and anything, and whether they agree with it or not, they will be there to listen. They will be there to understand. So I think when it comes to the level of intimacy and pornography and things like that, adult content, I think that's something that's very sensitive, because I've, over the years of talking with people, it's something that is very uncomfortable because people view it differently. You know, like we're guys, it's just kind of something that you enjoy. It's a fantasy. And a lot, sometimes people have enjoyed it. People have experienced it and are just kind of reliving those memories through the videos. There's other people that are disgusted by it. They just don't see any place for it. And they figure, why are you trying to do that when you have here me, when you have me here in the flesh? And I think that's where that misunderstanding should have been talked about, or should be talked about and understood. And not necessarily having to convince the other person that your way is right versus mine. It's more of understanding where we come from. It's just saying, okay, I don't agree with you, but I understand and I'll support it, right? And that's it. And vice versa. And, you know, I can throw the scenario out where, let's just say someone, I mean, that's a reason, think about it. That's a reason 50 Shades of Grey became so popular, right? I mean, that's just a lot of fantasies that women are trying to live out, just trying to be dominated, trying to feel that lust and excitement. And there's, you know, and guys are like, oh, whatever. But you got to talk about these things. You just can't just kind of have these outlets through these romance novels and erotic novels. You got to go ahead and talk about it if you want to live them in the flesh, because that's a void that you're having. Whether it's a void with support, whether it's a void in intimacy. I just think that us discussing these things that are very uneasy, it helps a lot along the way. And unfortunately for me, that's been a detriment to my routine now, where I do talk about these things openly with anybody when they say, okay, what do you think about this? And I'll say, this is how I feel. And it's up to them to love it or shove it. And that's what they do a lot of times. They shove it. And I think a lot of times has to be with, I understand that they have to build trust, but I know I'm very liberal with a lot of things that I think about. And for many people, they've just never been given a platform to be comfortable, to discuss these things, to not feel that they are going to go run with it and abuse it. And I think that's the biggest problem that I've noticed from the other end, from the more conservative people, is that the reason they don't even entertain those talks, a lot of it is because they're not comfortable. But also is that they've had experiences in the past where people have pushed the envelope. So, for example, if they want to talk about a fantasy or a desire or a fetishes that they have, then it opens Pandora's box. So they've seen it in their experiences. So therefore, they've said going forward, they were not going to allow that to happen again. And I think you just have to build that trust and communication. That's the biggest thing, I think, in any type of intimacy level when it comes to that. You just have to build that trust that at the end, no matter what you talk about, no matter how crazy it is, no matter how wild and outlandish it is and how weird you think it is or how funny you think it is, you have to allow it to be talked about. And I think that's something that many of us don't do. I know that when it comes to the, you know, and I talked about the pornography earlier, but that's something that somebody has a lot of issues with. It is not going to come around anytime soon. And hey, I mean, there's different levels to it, but it's something you can't control at the end. But I think if we were all open and especially something like that, because a lot of our desires, a lot of the things that we enjoy, they're hardwired in us, meaning that we've come accustomed to enjoying those things. Remember, they release the dopamines, and it's a vicious cycle. So when you liken something like a fetish or something that in the grown adult realm that it's something taboo, but you enjoy and you love doing it, it's something that someone has to understand that, hey, this is something they love to do. They feel comfortable with it. And that doesn't mean that they're trying to drag you into it, but you have to be understanding that they enjoy it. And if you're not able to provide it, then guess what? That void is going to be there. And that void with intimacy is going to be no different than the void when we want to be supported when we do something. You know, whether I know in my past, never been supported with doing exercise, never been supported with pursuing goals. And that's something that I'm going to erase and make sure going forward I have someone like that, that genuinely supports everything and anything that I love to do. And if we have differences in any realm, then we'll talk about it. And at the end, if you can't support it, I don't want you complaining about it. You know, I don't want you just being a negative. You could be neutral, but you're not going to be someone that's going to put their 2 cents on. Because I know that what happens in that realm, when you start having someone having a problem with whatever your hobbies are, whatever things you love to do, whatever passions or desires or cravings you have, they're going to go ahead and try slowly but surely to keep hacking away at it. And it's a lot of it is insecurity. It always comes down to that, right? It always comes down to the person always wanting to take away because they're not comfortable with it. So they're not comfortable with it. You shouldn't be comfortable with it. And I'm telling you, it's just so fascinating how entitled people are, how much people play the victim card of their past and not moving forward and giving somebody a clean slate because they're saying, well, this person in the past, I've did this, and you got to let go of it, man. You got to let go. You got to learn, and you got to learn from your mistakes. Don't get me wrong, and you got to move forward, but you're going to have to give the new person a clean slate. Now, if they're repeating the same things, if the story is being repeated here, just a different character, then you know what you need to do. But if they're being different and they're treating you differently, by all means, you have to take that leap of faith because that's just how you build relationships. You know, I've built some amazing connections where I now understand that it's tangible. It's not something, when you talk about love, when you talk about relationships, it's something that it's very tangible, very strong when you have that strong communication and trust for each other. But if you don't have that, then you're only going to reach a certain level. And I always tell that to people, like, you're going to be with somebody by all means, but you're never going to be fully fulfilled because you haven't untapped those channels of communication and that trust and allowing each other to kind of not judge one another. And I think that's where I'm ultimately running into. That's what I want. And that takes time. But it was just interesting because when I was reading into this addiction and the science behind it, it's something that's real. And it's not something that pertains to just sex and pornography. It just pertains to anything, whatever releases our dopamines, whether it's running, whether it's eating, whatever it is, right? Like, we're going to want to be indulged in it. We're going to want to be having that as part of our life. So the partner and the other person has to understand, hey, I'm either in or I'm out. You know, I just can't go ahead and nix it because then you're not creating, you're not allowing them to be happy. Because that's one thing I tell people, man. I just finished talking to someone about something along these lines. And I was saying to them, hey, it's one thing to compromise. It's one thing to compromise your time with, you know, partner versus friends. There's a compromise in spending your money on a house versus going on a trip. There's a compromise in Where do you go? Travel, right? I mean, all these different things. But the one thing you can't compromise is your self-happiness. And no matter what, that's one thing that I will never do ever again. That's non-negotiable. And I hope people understand that, that whenever they get in a situation where they're stuck in neutral and they don't know what to do or not to do, at the end, you got to be happy, man. Because this journey that we're in life, I was also seeing this other video, man. I love having these educational and thoughtful videos. And that's the mode I'm in. And it was talking about how life is not a journey. And essentially how life is like music. It has a beginning and an end. And some people choose to dance while the music is playing. Some people choose to play music while it's playing. And there's some people that do nothing about it. But at the end, it's not about the song ending. It's about you enjoying it while it's playing. And I think life is the same way, right? I mean, we all have an end. We're all dead people walking. We just don't know when. And what that video was talking about, it was from a philosopher. I forgot his name, but it was talking about pretty much that, hey, it, you know, we work towards this goal in life, whether school and then college and then work. And, you know, they were always given this destination and this journey that we're supposed to follow. And at the end, it's not about that. It's about enjoying every day and dancing to the music. And our music is life every day. So when you're maximizing that journey, when you're maximizing this experience, that is really the essence of living life. And whenever you're in the context of a relationship, you want that feeling of dancing to be amplified because you have a dancing partner. You're not out there freestyling like Chris Brown, right? You're out there, you know, wanting to dance and tango and have a beautiful partner that feels the same way about life. They want to dance with you and they want to enjoy it and have the same rhythm as you. So I think, you know, when I have these talks, I hope it's for my daughter as she gets older and she starts dating and doing all these things and you're able to resonate because who knows, I may not be around. I may not be around for any of this. And she will create her own rules. She will create her own process as to how to deal with guys and dating, or she dates women, whatever it is her heart desires. At the end, we have to support it. We have to be behind her. But I know as a parent, I have to just show her the pitfalls, the pros and cons from my life. And ultimately, she makes her choice. But we have to be open to one another and communicate. And that's something that it seems like it's a common denominator with any relationship, with any situation, because people are not openly communicating to each other because of judgment, because of fear. And at the end, man, if you look at each other, man, you're still there for the long haul. You're still there with each other. You're so intertwined with everything, whether it's kids, whether it's finances. It's like, Gij, I mean, just go ahead and take that leap of faith. Don't be afraid. Goodness. And yes, for the 50,000th time, I'm going to be just fine. It's just going to be a lot of rain out here. Damn.